I see is melanin, beautiful melanin. All I see is melanin, melanin, melanin. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. As always, before I continue, I want to acknowledge the fact that I'm recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. Anishinaabe Algonquin territory, on this day, March 23rd, 2025. That's right, stolen land. All right, get it through your head. We're on stolen fucking land. Today's episode is rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, fucking labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This this podcast may not be for you. Okay, I want to quickly acknowledge the heartbeat of this thing of ours, this interaction. And that's all you listeners. Do me a favor, wherever you are, take a deep breath and applaud your beautiful selves. And shout out if this is your first time checking out an episode of Shut Up Podcast. Yay! Here's hoping that at some point I say something on this episode that resonates and leads to us making history. All right. Okay. What else do I got? Oh, yeah. Website, shutuppodcast.com. And email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Excuse me. All I see is melanin. Beautiful melanin. Today's episode, titled 250. Then I'm going to go with Straight Men or Red Flags. I talk about the Netflix TV, the new or latest, whatever, TV series, Adolescence, and the parts that resonated with me. And I guess I will somewhat link Doichi's comment about straight men being red flags inside that observation. All right. I should probably warn you that if you haven't seen the series, yeah, it's going to be spoilers. Fuck it. I'm going to talk freely. This is like my first impression, but it's straight from the dome, and I'm not going to be careful about spoilers, so you're warned. I'm going to continue to warn you there's going to be spoilers. I don't want no goddamn emails at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com talking about, hey, man, you fucked it up for me. All right, okay. Before we get to the feature thought, sticking with tradition, we're going to do some quotes and some randomness. But first, quotes. That's how I hype myself up. All I see is melanin, beautiful melanin. Okay, first quote. Okay, you know what? Today's episode, we're only gonna have one quote. What? Yeah, one quote. Mainly because I feel the need to share my explain why I picked this one. And it goes like this. Simple one. Very simple. It goes, all cruelty springs from weakness. Seneca. By the way, who's Seneca? Who is Seneca? Seneca. And what's is he like McLovin with the whole one name? Word? Okay. Is that a company? Okay, whatever. Okay. Who is Seneca? Oh, philosopher. Seneca Younger? Is that his name? Oh, whatever. Okay, so he's a philosopher. I've seen several of his, misspelled his name, Lucius Annius and Annius Seneca. Man, them Greeks and their names. Okay, all right, so all cruelty springs from weakness. All right, now, when I first read that quote, I remember thinking about how Why is it the strong that are cruel? Usually it's someone who's got, the first someone to be cruel towards you oh, well, they must have some kind of advantage because no one likes cruelty. Anyways, I can't remember what the discussion, it was lingering in my mind too. I couldn't make sense of the quote. I guess that's, I felt like it was one of those quote, like only bad people do bad things. Or it was like one of those, a real man is a gentleman, whatever. Shit, like it's like, how do you explain it? It's like, it's nice things to say. And it's like, and weak is like a way to shame people into not being cruel. And so I guess, yeah, it lingered in the process. And I was talking to a white colleague, and there was something they said that made me, I forget, okay, the conversation, I won't go into the details, but essentially they were on that, yo, this generation's a bunch of pussies. Back in my days, it's like I'm from the generation of strength, and this generation is weak. And from that, it just had me thinking about, made me realize how, oh, now I get it. I kind of get it. It's more the idea of the need. It had been reflecting on why are people cruel? And based on this philosopher, it's a form of weakness. Now this shit could go all over, because I'm realizing I'm doing some more thinking about it, but I'm gonna try to stick to the initial my initial intention when I shared this quote. Is it made me realize is a white person couldn't be faulted for believing that, hey, we're superior. Being white makes us superior. Because look at all the cruel shit we've done to all these people. And they, quote unquote, allowed it. Because from their perspective, it's like, so there's a lot of white people who have like the abuser mentality. It's like, look what they made us do to them. Look what they allowed us to do to them. For the same reason a man who hits his woman would believe that he's stronger than her, because she, in his mind, she allowed him to be cruel towards her. This is my line of thinking here. What I'm saying is, I can see how people can link cruelty with strength. And what I appreciate from Seneca is he's saying, nah, man, it's a sign of weakness. Now, unfortunately, what bothers me is, this is what bothered me, is because if it was a sign of weakness, then how come I can't stop these weak people from doing bad things? Like, the man who... Like, if you look at the science, right, the man who beats on his woman or who's cruel to his woman, it's not a strength thing. It's, no, you probably have a physical advantage, or you probably a deception. Yes, I know women can be cruel too, but I'm sticking to the idea of why some folks need to have explained, would need the explanation that, no, cruelty is weakness. You're weak, motherfuckers. And going back to the whole superior, you know, the idea of white supremacy, I would understand why. I'm not saying I'm agreeing with it, but I could understand how you would make the logic of, well, look, man, I mean, we are superior because, look, we've pretty much took over this world. And not just took over, we were like cruel about it. But there's no way of, at the same time, it also, and it's gonna, as we get to the feature thought of adolescence, it also made me realize how these fake notion or these fallacies, these erroneous notions that I had growing up, or I was fed about what makes a man strong. Well, he could crush his enemy. I mean, he could crush him, but it doesn't make him... It's, yeah. I think if we all work from the same definition of what it means to be weak, or have a weak character, I agree. I agree with what Seneca... You know what? Fuck it. Seneca. I have difficulty pronouncing his name. Lucius. Anus. Anus. Anus Seneca. Grow up-y. Anyway, right. You know what? I'm just gonna conclude with the thought that I shared that I made about this quote. I said, this made me think about white supremacy. So the quote, "All cruelty springs from weakness." This made me think about white supremacy, specifically how white people's belief in their superiority is based on the opposite idea that cruelty is strength, and our inability as a non, and our non-ability, me as a black person or as a non-white, to prevent this is weakness. And yeah, it just goes to when I see a white person laugh at the idea of white supremacy. Oh, how could he think we're superior? We got smaller dicks. I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if at the if in the center of your brain, of your mind, you have this belief that we're superior because of our ability to, because of all the cruelty we've inflicted all over the world. When Columbus came to the Americas and he saw the kindness that they showed, that the indigenous people showed them, he saw that shit as weakness. Not realizing he was the real weak one. It felt cool. All right, okay, let's do some randomness. Because I really want to get to the feature thought, and also it's kind of late. Okay, first item on the agenda is, hey, guess what I'm doing this weekend? I'm cat sitting. That's correct, cat sitting. Right now, it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge it's been a challenge in a sense. Okay, this cat is actually cool. He's actually mind its own goddamn business. She's an introvert. She's like, you know, it's the only time she, it kind of bothers me. The only time she tries to connect with me is when she wants to be pet, stuff like that. And I'm starting to feel a little used by this animal. Not too long ago, I had to pick up some poop, because this poop, because maybe the cat litter was too full. But, but I forget that cats don't need to be maintained. That's or low maintenance. Anyways, it's the first time. No, actually, second time. Actually, let's go with first time because the first. Let's go to the first time because the official first time doesn't really count, and it's a longer story. But it is interesting having another living thing sharing space with another living thing that's not a human being, and I can't speak English or French. And I don't know. I'm having fun, and at the same time I'm like it's a bit of both. It's a bit of both, and we'll see how it goes, man. I think I just took it personal. I'm like, this motherfucker looking at me while I'm picking up its litter. Like, I feel like it's calling me a bitch. That's what I'm trying to say, and I'm kind of sensitive. I don't understand cat owners. I'm like, you know, now granted, with a dog, it'd be up like I'd be like telling it to shut the fuck up as I'm recording this podcast. Actually, I blocked off my office so it can't come in. And now the cooler I am with it, I'm like, you know what? I'm looking around. Yeah, there's not a lot of things you could do. There's not really anything you could do damage to if you were to come in. But I do worry that that it hides in a place in my apartment that I can't find it. Sure. You know, whatever. Not that I have a really big place. I had this dream on the first night I was taking care of this cat. I had this nightmare that that I left one of my doors open. I'm on the second floor of my building, right? But of my building that's on land that was stolen. All right. And that used to belong to the Anishinaabe. That's used to be part of the Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. All right. Okay. I'm on the second floor, but I had this nightmare that I left one of my doors open, and for some reason in this nightmare I was on the first floor, and I left one of my doors open, which led to the outside, and then the cat ran out. And the nightmare was me trying to explain to my my neighbor what happened to their cat. I'm trying not to fuck this up. Anyways, whatever. Okay, so that's it, man. That's what I've been doing. That's what I'm doing this weekend. Cat statement. I'm kind of hoping, you know, I kind of barricaded the door, but a part of me kind of wants it to come in and watch me record this. watch me record this episode. One fan. All right. Okay. All right. Next item. Okay. I am not going to go through it, this whole article, but I'm gonna save my thoughts for adolescence. This next article is something that I read a long time ago, saved it in my notes, and I wanted to make a whole episode about it. You know, I might, you know what, because it's my goddamn podcast. All right, okay, I might do it, right? But the title of the Atlantic article that I read, it's the online porn free-for-all is coming to an end. And the whole article is based up on the decades into the internet era. The Supreme Court finally appears to be ready to uphold age verification laws. Now, I'm kind of surprised that Trump and his Republican folks, that didn't affect them. But, oh, then again, you got the Christians. But, okay, where I'm going with this is I'm not going to give you my deep thoughts on the article. All I'm going to say is I actually agree with the notion of age verification. For I don't think porn should be accessible to children, and this is coming from someone. Okay, it should be accessible. And this is someone, you know, I'm on pro Napster. I was like, yo, fucking free information. It could go, but I'm like, I say this as someone who discovered porn at a very young age, and is convinced it did nothing good for me. A lot of my bad relationship decisions were all based on discovering porn at a young age. And it was just the fact that I discovered at a young age, but it was more how I was left to my own and a bunch of the streets, I'm going to call it the streets, i.e. The schoolyard, to figure out what I was looking at and how it was making me feel. It was, anyway, and it also, I believe, also is the reason why I used to have negative thoughts about women. So, yeah, but the only point I'm going to make is, yes, online porn should be regulated. But the challenge is, how do you do that without, because I don't want to give you my details about me. Some of the shit I'm watching, I'm kind of a shit. I'm in incognito mode for a reason. No, I don't watch that kind of bad porn, but it's not the kind of porn that I would love, that I would want to have a discussion about while I'm alive. You can find out what I've been watching at a young, when I'm dead. God forbid. All right, okay. Next article, or next item. Okay, this one's a TikTok video. And I'm just going to play it. All right, there's nothing more I can say, but it's going to go to why men ain't shit. You know what? Why men ain't shit. It's just a constant theme on this podcast is men ain't shit. But you're a man. Yeah, I said man. Men. I'm talking about this dip between men and a man. Man is an individual. We're like case by case shit. All right. Okay. Here we go. And the subject goes, Understanding Friendship Dynamics Amongst... Wait, what? No, that's the wrong title. Okay, here, I'm just going to play it.
Men are so quick to go after little girls, but they are not friends with 18-year-old boys because they know they have nothing in common with them. But somehow they claim to have all this chemistry with a teenage girl. And guess what? That relationship didn't just magically happen. Men have to actively go out of their way to seek out and be around 18-year-old girls. The same way big businesses wish they could pay below the minimum wage, men wish they could legally date below 18. If the laws change tomorrow and 18 is no longer the magic number, I guarantee you they would go lower. Because it was never about finding love. It's about finding someone who's easier to control. Someone who will tolerate the nonsense that older, more experienced women will never tolerate. An older woman won't wash your dirty underwear, but an 18-year-old girl will. An older woman won't tolerate cheating, but an 18-year-old girl will. So these men are looking for a woman who's willing to become a doormat. And once they get everything they want from her, they will dump her for a brand new 18-year-old girl. They clearly see women as objects. That's why they are mad at me for saying that a woman's past doesn't matter. They keep asking me stupid questions, like if I'd buy a used car with high mileage. Now, to all the guys saying, it's just a preference, bro. How come your preference is conveniently targeting women who are easier to manipulate? I'm not against age gap relationships. However, you don't see women romanticizing older men in the same way. Women don't say, I want to date the oldest man I possibly can. But men insist on dating the youngest woman they legally can. Yes, an 18-year-old woman is an adult. She can buy a lotto ticket and she can vote. But we all know why you're picking her. Older women have boundaries and self-respect. An 18-year-old girl is still new to adulthood, and she might ignore red flags that an older woman would spot in 2 seconds. And to the guys who keep pretending that you met by accident, we see you. You're not fooling anyone. If you're actively targeting girls who graduated high school last week, maybe we should start getting the handcuffs ready.
Okay, should be clear, at the moment of this recording, this post has gotten 162.7 thousand likes and comment. Is this sorted by top likes? Okay. The sisterhood appreciates you. Okay. And the content creator's name is Muketwa. I think Zed is for Zambia. Whatever. All right. Okay. He's on WhatsApp. Word. Focus, B. Fucking focus. Okay. Let me do this later. All right. Okay. Here's why I'm sharing this. Okay. My personal thoughts on this is, well, needless to say, I agree with what he's saying. I'm going to speak about my experience. Like I said, the constant theme on this podcast is many shit. But I'm going to elaborate when we get to feature thought. I'm grateful that even though I've been exposed to some heinous men, I'm grateful for the men who I grew up with, who did not tolerate that shit. And I'm talking about, you could get, I remember a guy, word got out that he was dating, we were like in college, and he was dating high school girls, and there was a mark on his head. He was a target. I don't know, homie left town. I don't know what happened to him, but that shit was not tolerated. So I'm grateful for that. There was that kind of standards. With that said, I am familiar with the idea of age gap and manipulation. I am familiar with older men befriending younger boys. And not sexual, not in a sexual way, but it was their way of establishing, they were like their Dr. Umar. They were like their Trump. They were like their cult leader. It's because the younger kids would look up to them. And I always thought something was weird about it. Like to us younger kids, they were like the smartest person on earth, because we would hang out with them. They had all the answers. They were very clever, but they also had like narcissistic, cult leader like, what's that word? I'm trying to think of a messiah complex. It's like they would. It's as if they hung out with us because the people their age were like, yo, you're an idiot. What the fuck? Grow the fuck up. But when you hang out with younger people or people who are like less smart or easily, what's that word? Impressionable. My point is, it was easy to manipulate us. I am very familiar with that dynamic. And it applies to what homeboy was explaining about men dating younger women, and it's fuck you. It's not about love. It's a control thing. I gotta tell you, yeah, there's a lot of folks who, when it comes to the concept of love, they confuse control with love. Two different distinct things. Anyway, so yeah, no, I do know this whole notion of it's not about love. It's a control thing. It's like, yo, to this younger person, I am genius. I am everything. Actually, I did know one guy. Okay, it was a friend of a friend. It was a friend of a friend type of thing. So someone else told me that they had a conversation with them, and they said shit like, yes, date them young so you can groom them. He actually used the word groom them. And at the time, you know, I'm a young kid, don't know what the fuck. I mean, that makes sense. But what they were really saying is, nah, man, women my age will see me for the piece of shit that I am. So I got to date younger. I can't have no chicks realize see me for what I truly am. So yeah, man, I don't know how to tell you this, but yeah, I'm trying to imagine having a daughter and explaining this to them. No, I guess it'd be a situation like, I'm sorry, hate me all you want, but I'm gonna kill this dude. I know you claim to be in love, but I'm telling you, he's playing you, and I'm just gonna need you to trust me. I think it would be as a kid who hated being on the, who hated being told because I said so, I think that would be the one time that I'm saying, nah, fuck that. But then again, that's only pushing them towards, I'm just saying, if I was in that situation, look, if any of my homies were in that situation, I'm like, I'm helping, we can use my car because I drive a crossover, right? And we can dump a dead body in there and we'll drive it. Well, all I ask is that we have a destination where cops won't see us. Like, if you need help burying a body, I'm there. But I'm saying, I would prefer not getting pulled over by the cops. So you do the driving, and then tell them you stole my car. That's my contribution. All right. Did I say that? Yeah. Any of my homies with daughters, and with a daughter dating an older guy? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. Off with their heads. All right. Okay. Next line, male loneliness epidemic. All right, not bad for an episode titled Straight Men Are Red Flag. All right, okay. Okay, let me just play this. Oh, sorry, the clip that I'm playing is on the theme of the male loneliness epidemic. Here we go.
I hate to be the woke friend, no I don't, but that conquest monologue is exactly what patriarchy has done to men. Because the whole thing starts off with him saying, I love doing this. I enjoy coming to new planets and conquering and slaughtering people. You know what I mean? Just to get to the end and say, I'm so lonely, my G. I'm so lonely. I could be doing so much more, but nobody wants to be around me. They don't even give me a name. My name is my purpose. This man wanted connection so bad, but he can't get it because people have sent him out to commit atrocities. Patriarchy told men to go out there and be dominant and be violent and take over things. And now we're complaining to people, yeah, nah, I can't get a girlfriend. I don't got no friends. I'm so lonely. I don't know what's going on. That's what's going on. This man said he wants to cry sometimes, but he can't, or he doesn't, because he thinks people aren't gonna understand. And it's like, yeah, you don't really give people a chance to understand. You've been unaliving them for centuries. And I think that's like the crazy thing. He's saying that the other Viltrumites are afraid of him. And a lot of men are afraid of really, really violent men. But the really, really violent men can be used as tools to get what we need out of everybody else. We can threaten people with the fact that a really, really violent man exists out there that we can use against you when we need to. And conquest is that tool. The wild thing is he's having these intense emotions, right? He's having them, he's experiencing them, but he sees them as a weakness whenever Mark shows them towards protecting people he cares about. Like Mark feels something for the citizens, for Eve, right? While he's trying to keep them safe. And conquest is having these emotions, the same emotions of like sadness of losing people, losing connections, But when Mark has those emotions to care about people, he thinks they're a weakness, and he's stuck in that cycle, stuck in that loop.
Okay, first of all, I didn't hear that that speech that he's talking about, but I am familiar with the series Invincible, so I think he kind of spoiled it for all of us. My bad. Second, I'm playing this for the message that he's sharing. And third, me and him having in common is I'll make reference to like a TV show and and hope I explain it in a way that if you hadn't seen the TV show or the movie, it will still make sense. So power to you, brother. Oh, right. Content creator's name is Pierre Fleury. Ah, c'est un français, tu sais? Pierre. He must be French. Writer 3.0, breakup advocate, educator, stay inclusive. If I DM you, it's a scam. All right, follow. Okay. Where was I? Yeah, no. I can't add more to it, but I think I like what my favorite part is how, yeah, I dominated, I killed it, and then only to be like, why does anyone like me? I was, anyway, okay. I can't add more to it. All right. Now, finally, the last part randomness. Man, ain't shit series. And I have three clips or three items that I think would summarize what I mean by man ain't shit and the kind of men that I hate. Exactly. That the men that's causing me to say men ain't shit. First clip is, this one I could read. It goes about Donald Trump. It goes like this. I know way too many Americans no longer care about this, but I'll never stop reminding them of this. Donald Trump is everything. Everything is in capital letters. Everything you teach your children not to be. He's cruel, ignorant, and lawless. He's a bully, a coward, a cheat, an extreme narcissist, and a pathological liar. Oh my God, can he lie? You'd never work with him. You'd never work for him. And if you did, you know, you did it against your will. You never want any woman you cared about involved with him. He's a horrible human being. Shame on us for electing him again. They give that man a second chance to make America great. I think in my anger for towards Donald Trump, it's kind of like the pastor who teaches you on the way of Christ, only to later find out that, well, he fucked everyone in the choir and my wife. Like, he's telling you to live by these Christ principle, only to realize that he hasn't. I think it's more of part of my frustration has been like looking at this man who is a symbol of everything I was told not to be. You want to get into heaven, right? And all it's done is allowed him to prosper. It's like, it drives me nuts. What does that have to do with your hatred for men? I think in my hatred for men is at some point, to the younger people listening to this, you're going to reach an age, if you're lucky, or if you're grateful, that you're going to reach an age where you're going to make a decision between the kind of man you want to be. Fuck how you want to be remembered. I mean, the kind of man you want to be. And for me, I believe at the core is, do you want to be the kind of man that's the same person when the cameras are off, or that are two different people when the cameras are on and are off? That's rich coming from a guy who's doing this podcast so he can put out his authentic self. What I'm getting at is Donald Trump, he's one way on cameras, but turn off those cameras, there's going to be a lot of, like, he would say shit that would probably make his followers go, no, I don't think his followers would would leave him. But it would be nice to be like, yes, you're right, I ain't shit. I'm jealous of Obama. That's why I'm going after that N-word, that nigger. I'm jealous of Obama. there's a chance Justin Trudeau bang Melania. Melania doesn't want to fuck me anymore. I don't know things for personal. But I'm just saying. Trump has made a living out of cheating. The second clip is I'm gonna play this one. He goes, Elon, you probably heard about this one, but this one summarizes better, right? Elon and empathy. Yeah. By the way, don't buy a Tesla.
The fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy. The empathy exploit. They're exploiting a bug in Western civilization, which is the empathy response.
2 hours later.
I mean, it's really come as quite a shock to me that there is this level of really hatred and violence from the left. I always thought the left, you know, Democrats were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring.
It drives me nuts, the people out there, especially men. It's been my experience, who will ridicule you for showing empathy, who will refuse to be show any kind of empathetic. But the only time it's okay for empathy is when they need it. That's some bullshit, man. Elon Musk being, look, all I'm going to say, Elon's way of thinking is some primitive shit. I believe as a human race, we're evolving, and empathy is like a new feature we're trying to develop. And motherfuckers like him, it would make sense for him to see it as a weakness. Then again, he is a billionaire, and he's probably giving you the blueprint. It's like, yo, I didn't get these billions by giving a fuck about people. All right, okay. Last clip. And I was debating on playing, you know, I'm not going to play this because I don't want his voice echoed on my podcast. And it's, I remember, yeah, when I first saw this clip, it's a clip of Andrew Tate on Candace Owens' podcast. And it's pretty much him, it's not bragging, but him talking about, come and get me, law enforcement, and bragging or talking about how he's not dumb enough. Like, he's inviting law enforcement to get him, but he's saying he's not dumb enough to leave any evidence for them to find. And to him, that's a flex. And what bothers me, and this is at the core of what I mean or when I say man ain't shit, it's as if it ain't about being a winner. It's about being... It's cheating. It's going through life. It's being a cheat. That's what I'm getting at. It's being a cheat. See, I remember the first time he was accused of sex trafficking. And I'm like, that's a serious crime to make. And this dude was like, I didn't do it. Come and get me. And a chick like that, right? And I was willing to be, okay, let's give him this guy a day in court. I mean, because that's a serious offense to put on someone. Like, I don't know this dude personally. And only to find out that this asshole is like, yeah, I'm into that shit. He's like, it's wild, right? I'm willing to tolerate rappers talking about, yo, we sell drugs, but we sell it in a way that you cops can't arrest us. I'm like, high five. But sex trafficking? That's my line. I guess that's the crime that I'll fucking snitch. I got a whiff that you're doing this. But okay, back to Andrew Tate. It's more the idea that this dude is pretty much saying, yes, I do that shit. I just haven't been caught for it. And that to me is, oh, fuck. That's bad. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's like, it bothers me that that's what it is. For the men who tolerate this asshole or turn a blind eye to it, y'all disgust me. It's the reason why, I'm willing to have to start a civil war to establish our identity as men. It's a war between men who are trying to be legit and assholes like him. I don't want to use the word he's giving us a bad name, even though he is giving us a bad name. But that's the kind of weakness that shouldn't be tolerated. You know, it's wild. I know there is probably someone, you know, a gym nut who sees me and because I'm overweight and says, yo, that's weakness. But the fact that it's like you rate someone, but someone with a sheer awful character, the fact that he exists, the fact that the fat guy is the problem, but Andrew Tate is, okay, he's got some faults, but at least he ain't fat. That's what's wrong with the world. I'm saying, if it was me establishing a code, a man's got to live by the code, in my code, that dude does not deserve to breathe. Fuck a court, man. Just, yo, fuck it. Hang him. Hang him and make an example of him. I've been watching 1923 and 1883 about the Dutton Ranch. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it, right? Because I love history and I love how the series just builds up on why John Dutton is like, yeah, this is my land. I ain't trying to change shit. Fuck you motherfuckers from California and New York. Get off my land. Whatever, right? Like, they make me side with this white man. Even though another example of him could be like, yeah, I own slave, but I ain't trying to change my way of life. Sorry. I'm looking at John Dutton in Yellowstone as a human being that he's just a man. Why the fuck am I talking about John Dutton? Oh, I think I'm just talking about the series of... I think my whole point is, in my world, when it's acceptable to use violence, and I'd be against people like him. I fucking hate that his weakness, he's a weak man, but he still figured out how he weaseled his way into be considered, I won't say respected, but they actually let him in the fucking country to have some kind of power. This dude is like supposed to be in Romania. He's supposed to see his day in court, and they brought him in the country. He's like showing up to UFC and whatever and applauding him. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a time where I thought I wanted to be a pastor. And I remember having this thought about, like, you know what? I may never grow up to be the tough guy. I may never be the guy who, like, leads other men. But I like the idea of being the guy who reaches the mind of the men who leads other men. Not manipulative. Not like some goddamn cult leader. But I'm saying, like, yo, use your strength to benefit others, not for the detriment of other people. Be a good dude. Like, it. You know what? It reminds me of, this is what I used to, when I used to believe in Christianity, because that's what I believe it was, about being a decent human being. I used to love that shit. Look out for the weak. Look out for the poor. Under realize that it's all bullshit. I mean, whatever. Whatever. I'm just saying, that's the word. It is what it is. But I wish we lived in a world where people like him were not tolerated. Like, there's a reason why they have to make rape illegal, because it's got to be punishable. Because some guys will be like, well, since it's not illegal, like, there are men out there, is their only reason for considering not being a rapist is because of they just don't want to end up in jail. As opposed to just, you know, not being a despicable human being. Whatever, man. It bothers me, man. I had a walk today and it had me reflecting on, you know what? Okay, let me save this for the feature thought. Hold on, how long have I been recording? Okay, I've been recording for a while. Okay, let me save this rest for a feature thought. And All right, Kate. The last note I put is masculinity seems to be based on being better than everyone else and treating the world like your enemy and crushing them or being in a position to crush them. That masculinity seems to be based on being full of shit. Just being, it's not about being a good person. It's about convincing people you're a good person. It's not about not trafficking women. It's just don't get caught doing it. I think that's the tagline. Just don't get caught doing bad things. Anyways, all right. Okay. All right. I've said enough. Okay. Let's jump into feature thought. And feature thought. Sorry. I keep renaming it. And get the fuck out of here. All right. Okay. Let's go. And I'm back. I don't have a clip. I still don't have a clip for I'm back. Oh, well, okay. We'll work on that. Okay. Whatever. All right, let's do this. Okay, before I talk about the TV series real quick, I feel the need to interject and say that I saw the movie Anora, and shout out to Chris Lambert for recommend. Did he recommend it? He just said it was a good movie, and I remember seeing it. Like I was tempted to go see it in theaters, like in those theaters that woke people go to, us woke folks go to. You know, the small theater, whatever. I was tempted to go see it in theaters just because I like going in the theaters, but I gotta be honest. I kept looking at the, did I watch the trailer? I can't remember. No, I don't think I watched the trailer, but I kept watching at the cover and being like, how is it possible for this movie to be good? Long story short. And, yeah, I watched it and, it's only during that I realized, oh, this shit is a, okay. I know it's going to sound bad, but I'm like, this is a rom-com. This is supposed to be a rom-com movie. I'm like, put it in that context. So here's the thing with this movie, right? It's fucking hilarious. But the funny doesn't start, like, it gets to, well, I don't know, for maybe others, you know, you laugh throughout the whole movie. But it's like the laugh starts at a particular moment, and it's just fucking hilarious from there. At the beginning, it's sex, 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 sex. And, yeah, man, it's one of those movies that I would, if I could not have watched during my teen college days, because I would have just missed the plot. I would have just watched it for the sex scenes. I don't understand sex scenes in movies, but then again, maybe that's because I don't get laid a lot. But whatever. Anyways, all right. Where was I? Great movie. I'm just gonna read one little note they said about the movie. It says, while the characters and specific plot points in the film Anora are fictional, the movie is loosely inspired by real events and Sean Baker's research into sex work industry. Yeah, no, it's very, I think there's a lot of the realities of the sex work industry. Anyways, funny movie, I recommend it, go watch it. Now, adolescence, that's the, okay, the connection between the movie and adolescence is because Adolescence, episode one, is another one. I'm like, why is everyone talking about this movie, right? And I remember it starts very slow. It starts slow, and I remember being like, so I have this bad habit of playing with my phone when, like, it's not that it's hard for me to focus, but it's like, I make it hard for you to keep my attention. Like in the old days, whatever. My point is, it starts slow, but by the time it gets to the end, and I'm like, yes, I'm watching the other three episodes. Like, they hooked me by the time they got to the ending. And it also helped. Oh, my point is, it was an hour long, and it took the full hour before I was like, oh, okay, I love this shit. But it started slow. Usually when a series starts, I'm like, you need to get me at the beginning. Kind of like okay, Game of Thrones didn't get me like that. But Game of Thrones pushing a kid out the window was like, oh, okay, I need to see the rest of this shit. But usually, if you notice with TV series, they usually hook you by episode one. The Wire's an exception. The Wire, okay, by that logic, I would have never been a fan of The Wire. I think what I'm just trying to say is it requires, I kind of lost the patience that I used to have in my younger days. With that said, I think the similarity between Anura and adolescence is how my patience was rewarded. That's where I'm going with this. Because they start slow, and it's, and then I'm like, yeah, because the portion between, you know, I nearly walked out on, okay, I'm going to get to the movie, right? I nearly walked out on Pulp Fiction because I was not familiar with Quentin Tarantino's movies. And I was like, where the fuck is this movie going to? And then that scene where Vince Ram gets, you know, anally raped. Yeah. And the dropping of the N-word was just killing me. I'm like, I remember I was getting ready to walk out. And then my homie, who's an art student, whether it's an art student, whatever, and he goes, no, 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 sit down. Then I was like, oh, okay, now I like the movie. I guess I'm saying is, I think I need to get back to that. I hate being patient and being disappointed. I guess that's what I'm saying. I hate disappointment. That's really where I'm going with this. All right, okay. But Anura, Adolescence, great movies, not a disappointment. All right. Now, before I share my thoughts on Adolescence, I'm going to play a clip by Miss Aisha, content creator. Her name is Miss Aisha on TikTok, and her take on Adolescence. And yeah, because she's sounds way smarter than I am. Okay, here we go.
So often people speak about men who have issues with women as if these men need therapy. So men who have misogynistic attitudes, who objectify women, who dehumanize women, are told to go to therapy. And this is what happens when men and boys that hold very deeply ingrained.
Pause. Reminder, spoiler alerts. This is going to be full of spoilers. I'm not going to spoil Anura, but if you haven't seen Adolescence, spoiler. I remember when I saw this clip, I hit pause because I wanted to see the TV series before hearing her take. All right? Okay. You've been warned. Spoiler alert. All right.
Ingrained misogynistic attitudes go to therapy. This is Jamie, who's in this movie, 13 years old. This is from episode 3 of Adolescence on Netflix. 13 years old, and this is how he's treating his therapist. He's attempting to intimidate her. At other parts of this session, he's attempting to get her validation, attempting to get her to say that she likes him, that she thinks he's attractive. This is what happens in therapy, and this is why therapy is not appropriate for men and boys who have these attitudes. Misogyny is a sociological issue. That means that in order to effectively deal with this behavior in men, there have to be social consequences from other men for men who have these issues. What that looks like is a man says to another man, if you don't pay your child support, you can't hang out with me. It's not, that's not what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. If you put your hands on your wife, then no, I'm not dealing with it. I know you cheated on your wife. I'm not coming to your wedding. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not doing this because you are not treating women well. Therefore, you can't hang out with me. And then the pushback that I get from that is creating those consequences would alienate these men. Mm-hmm. I think it will require them to behave in a certain way because men crave other men's approval more so than they care about the opinions of women. Once again, misogyny cannot be treated in mental health.
Misogyny cannot be treated in mental health. What's interesting about her take is it reminds me of The Sopranos and how their take, by the time you get to season 6, their decision is like, yeah, psychology cannot help sociopaths. And at the same time, there are scenes, the similarity between Adolescence and The Sopranos is when Tony, the male character, is interacting with his female therapist. There are scenes where he's like, his misogyny gets the best of him, like there's parts where the therapy session gets so deep, he attempts to intimidate her, to like threaten her, and but it goes to show how fucking fragile we are. So in Adolescence, the scene that she's talking about, yeah, I remember being frustrating with the boy, and only just goes to show how good the actor, the kid actor, was, because he was pissing me off. Because there are scenes where the therapist, but actually, is she a therapist? She was a therapist, but she was actually just there to be like, we're just trying to understand what the fuck provoked you. I didn't say there would be spoilers, right? Right. Okay. Movie's about a boy who, like, I don't know why people compared it to Mayor of Easttown. But the first episode establishes, you know, this kid, this kid getting arrested, and you're like, what the fuck did this kid do? And you're like, angry at the officers. Oh, by the way, shout out to the guy who in Top Boy who was in there. You know, just shut up podcast. We don't look up people's name. I can't even remember the character's name. But the black guy, the dark-skinned guy, you know, the dark-skinned drug dealer guy. All right, so, yeah, the first episode, it starts out with this kid getting arrested. I mean, sure, they build it up, right? But they arrest this kid, and you're like, what the fuck? What, murder? This white kid? Not a fucking chance. And at the end of the episode, it ends with them showing a video of the kid killing a girl. I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, I thought it was going to be four seasons of this kid was framed. Did his dad do it or shit, whatever, right? But no, it's established this boy is a murderer. And the next three episodes is to investigate how the fuck does this kid get to that point. Only to realize that it's one of those woke shows. Because it deals on the theme of violence against women. And, but, okay, yeah, now that I spoiled the whole TV series, again, I did warn you. I fucking warned you. Maybe I should call this episode spoiler alert. Okay, I established, great series, enjoyed it. I'm trying to remember, wait, first season. Oh, the other actor, one last point before I get to what resonated with me. Hold on a second. Adolescence. I'm trying to remember the name of the character. The actor. Stephen Graham. Holy shit. I remember being like, why the fuck am I watching him until I saw him appear in there. So Steve Graham plays the father of the child who's like, who gets arrested for murder, right? Who did that shit. And Stephen Graham, holy fuck, he's Mr. You've seen him in gangster movies like, oh, you've seen him he was in the Army, the World War II movie, Brotherhood. No, Band of Brothers. Watch all these movies, forget the name. Band of Brothers. But most importantly, he's been in Boardwalk Empire and the fuck is that movie again? You gonna make me look it up. Hold on a second. Boardwalk Empire, and he's been in other gangster movies. He's the one with Scorsese there. Fuck. It's important for me to wait, hold on. Okay. Stephen Graham. Yes, he's been in Snatch. If you bust, he's been in Snatch. Okay, there we go. The Irishman, right? It was cool watching him as not a gangster, not a dude who snaps. Like it was amazing seeing him being vulnerable. I developed a very big appreciation for Stephen Graham in this role. Because I went from, I don't know about this movie, to, oh, okay, all right, okay, yeah. It was great acting. Okay. Didn't know he was involved in, he's one of the creators, all right? So that's what hooked me. Now, what really resonated with me, probably the biggest part is the scene that the content creator talked about earlier on, what's her name? Miss My Therapist Life on TikTok. her name is also Miss Aisha, where the boy who did that shit killed the little girl, killed the girl, and is interacting with the therapist. It made me real. I connected to the realization that what me and this kid have in common, or me and this kid and every boy like us, like me, is we all grew up with a sense of One, we had shitty role models. And two, we were all raised by people who were empty themselves and were trying to, like, my therapist used this thing. It's like I'm trying to pour into this cup that's empty at the bottom. I'm constantly trying to pour. And the thing is, I've developed this way of life because the people who raised me or who surrounded me, all my influence were like that as well. Or for the most part, And where I connected is the realization, this what this kid was saying, without actually saying it, is essentially, I grew up with this notion that women, especially pretty women, were like kingmakers. One, two. And validation came from them. Validation came from external shit, not from the inside. This is what I mean about being empty. Validation came from your parents telling you you're doing well. Your teacher saying good grades. It's your grades being decent. And then you grow up, you know, your car being bad, your muscles being glistening, and your bank account is like bumping it. And your shoes, your clothes, the money, and then most importantly, you had a bad bitch by your side. Because I didn't have any of that, because I was like, yeah, I'm a nice guy. Because I wasn't the type to attract, whether I could, I'm not going to stick on whether I could, what I'm saying, I didn't attract. I didn't feel like I was the kind who had anything to offer to a pretty girl or an object of a woman that I desired. Because of that belief, it led towards anger towards women or rage towards women. And I remember having a hatred. It's wild. I had a hatred for women that was unchecked, that I was not aware of. At the time, I'd be telling you, no, I'm a good guy. But at the core, there was like a hatred. I resented women for not being attracted to me. Because all the movies I saw, you know, the good guys, the winner, he gets the girl at the end. Sorry, I'm thinking of the movie Anora. The rich guy got the girl. But yeah, it was all painted like the hero, the good. See, that's why I hated these rom-com from the old days, or any kind of movies, and it always ends with the male character ending up with the girl. It bothered me because I took that as, because I didn't have the girl, then something must be wrong with me. That scene spoke so much. It had me reflecting, yeah, that rage. You know, I have a joke about how I could have easily been an incel, but thank God I was black. My anger was more focused on the fact that, yo, this white supremacy system is bullshit. But you bitches need to be. Hey, yeah, no, I did have the I could have easily been, I didn't, but I can see myself falling for the trap of ending up being an incel because I had that resentment. There was a rage, there was an anger. It's like there's something wrong with me, and I felt like women just reflected the fact that, specifically pretty women, the pretty one, or the ones that I was attracted to, were a reflection of my failures as a human being. Had to unlearn that shit. And I think, yeah, like I said, I think I blame the being surrounded by people who were empty. I say blame, but I mean, the system's broken, man. What's fucked up is, again, grew up Christian. Christianity was supposed to be, at my core, what made me feel like I mattered, like I was something. But Christianity did not help. Even my teachers and all the preachers couldn't reach me. I'm running the streets and puffing weed with my peeps. Right. Anyway, yeah, I think I said that I was going to talk about all the things that resonate. I forgot to make a list. No, I didn't forget the list. I thought I would remember it. But the part that stuck to me the most with that scene... And second, everything after that was Stephen Graham, like that suspense at the beginning of the beginning of the TV show. Oh man, there's a scene where when the father finds out, because the father's like, you know, fuck that, my son is innocent. You got the wrong house. He's like, man, Stephen Graham played the fuck out of that role. Y'all got the wrong house. And seeing him not like go all John Gotti on him, but being like, y'all got the wrong house. Seeing him as a regular human being. That was, anyways, shit. He goes from, yo, my son said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. From finally seeing, getting the proof that he did it. Oh, man. Yeah, there's two things about that. Is that he, oh, man. Shit's gonna make me cry. The father looks away at the kid. It's a powerful scene, but I love he said the word, because the boy is like, dad, dad, oh man. And he turns at him because with tears in his eyes, what did you do? What the fuck, what did you do? Oh man, because before that he had asked him, did you do it? He said, no, I didn't. The kid's like, no, I didn't do it. And like, okay, all right, my son says he didn't do it, and fuck it, I'm gonna go to bat for this guy. And he's like, what did you do? There's a there's another scene where he talks about how, oh man, yeah, I enjoyed Adolescence, man. All this to say that, yeah, sure, it's in Britain. I had to watch it with the subtitles parce que le anglais, là, my English there is, you know, is English is my second language, and there's only so many accents I can process. I used to talk to this dread, and I'd be like, what? What are you saying? And he would take offense to the fact that I was constantly asking him to repeat himself. And I wish the brother knew that, nah, man, I'm limited on the different accent. Like, I'm handling this Canadian accent, which is not an accent. To me, it's just people speaking English. But you derive from that accent, I'm like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? What are you, a gypsy? Anyway, whatever. Adolescence, 5-star. Now, finally, let me tie this into a bow. The title of today's episode. I was listening to Mundane Festival and the latest episode that came out and by Chris Lambert, and he made reference to Doechii. Actually, I've heard of no. He made reference to Doechii getting shit from. Actually, I did see it on another TikTok clip, right? Getting shit from online because she said. The word is, you know, straight men are red flags. Actually, another content creator brought this up, said straight men are, and I just remember hearing that statement. Oh, and a content creator is like, are men okay? Because they were reacting to the blowback Doechii was getting for saying that shit. And she said, are men okay? I didn't get a chance to, I must have been at work, but I didn't get a chance to reply, but I wanted to reply with, no, we're not. Men are not okay. And part of it, well, look at our role models, man. Well, most of us, fuck, probably had Trump, Elon Musk, or whoever they looked up to. Those were our role models. Empty men. If they weren't empty, they were fictitious. They didn't exist. Like Gary Cooper. Tony Soprano. Men on TV like Rambo, shit like that, that they weren't real human beings. What I'm getting at, ladies, I used to, I had two cousins and I have two cousins, they're girls. And I remember when they were turning 18 and trying to think of what would I tell them about men? And I couldn't figure it out. Like I couldn't tell you how to distinguish the good from the bad ones. But one thing I can tell you for sure, well, I guess it depends on the kind of woman you are because, you know, some of you have low self-esteem, so there can't be helped. Some of you believe you deserve shitty men. But for those of you who've done the work and like are like escalating and are like, you know, trying to get back into the dating scene and you've gone through all the bullshit, I'm sure you've acquired a lot of wisdom. But if you haven't figured this thing out yet, I'm telling you now, a red flag any man who takes offense to the statement, straight men are red flags. Because any man who's done some introspection, some analysis, who've reevaluated, unlearned, deconstructed the shit that they were taught about life, will know that, yeah, no, I can see that. I may not have been a guy who did the dirt, but I did turn my blind eye to the dirt. I did laugh at bad jokes. Yeah, I hate this bitch, you know what I mean? I probably laughed at this shit. I probably lied for one of my male friends. Said, no, he was with me the whole night. Yeah, no, he's a good guy. Only to find out that, you know, yeah, I want to set you up with a guy. I think he's going to be great for you deep down inside. You know, he's just trying to bang you. I'm in that category. Yeah, anyways, yeah. I was about to say, I make no apologies for it, but it's no, I make for, when I say that to the men who are like, whoop, B, shut the fuck up. Nah, I don't apologize. I'm like, men are like, and we've made that analogy before, are like bad cops. We're like bad cops. And we're all under this code of silence. It's like, yo, see no evil, I didn't see shit. And it's like an unwritten code of conduct, and it's like, yo, fuck that, man. You don't get in the way of any man trying to have sex with another woman. Yeah, if they're cheating their way to it, yo, shut the fuck, you try to aid it, whatever, man. It was an unwritten code. So yeah, no, I am not mad at Deutsche saying straight men are red flags. It's not about her saying it, it's about you not being it. Just be a man among, wow. Who would have known that a man among men would be the one who's not a red flag? That right there. I used to think being a man among men is, you know, had a big bank account, got bitches, got clothes. Nah, being a decent human being makes you a man amongst men. All right, okay. All right, on that last note, that song I kept repeating, All I See is Melanin, Melanin. That's from a new track by Arrested Development, and it's in my other links, so you can check it out for yourselves. And this concludes today's episode. Hey, we did it. Hold on a second. I don't believe this goddamn cat. Okay, maybe it's the barricade that I put. I was going to say the goddamn cat didn't come to listen to me record my podcast. I got to tell you, man, this motherfucker is not earning his keeps. I don't know what I volunteered for, but it sounds like I volunteered for. I got an ego because a dog would be like, rah, 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 I love you, man. I love you, man. This fucking cat is just like, hey, you pet me when I tell you to pet. And when I tell you to pet me, you pet me, bitch. I swear it's calling me a bitch and it bothers me. I deserve better. Motherfucker hasn't, you know, said I love you once. All right, okay. Or thank you. All right. That's how we do it, Shut Up Podcast. All right, this concludes today's episode. Reminder that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, modifoqué. Yo, holler at me about that Haitian accent. Modifoqué. I mean, yeah, my Haitian accent. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode is rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. By Whitey, I mean definitely. Today's Whitey is definitely Elon, Andrew Tate, and Donald Trump. And every man like them. Fuck Whitey as a staff record label and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Beat it. Anyway, thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.